outline for you guys to approach building a social media following from scratch. A little bit of background is right now I am, I guess you could say, Ethan Becker's manager. Not really a manager because I'm not getting paid, but I'm the guy behind the scenes usually calling a lot of the shots on how we can better improve interaction with community, how to build the YouTube algorithm, how we can format for that, the Instagram algorithm. I've also been involved with or behind the scenes of Ross Draws and his little explosion. I've been with Rice Pirate, Ahmed Alduri. I know many of the people that will be in this channel or are interacting with that you guys may have known. I've either had conversations with or have derived specific formulas from how they built their followings, i.e. Cynic, Cycra, Jetty Jet. I've also seen a lot of failures, and I've also made a lot of mistakes, a lot of huge mistakes. A lot of what I'm going to be covering right now are the things that I've tried to do for myself when I was trying to build smaller followings and it just didn't work. And this has been kind of ongoing for like 7 years of experimentation and figuring out what works and doesn't work. And a lot of techniques that people are encouraged to do or general outlines that you get from like most like growth advice articles just don't apply or work to artists that are trying to build their followings. And to be completely frank, I think when you are trying, when you're new, you're learning and you're trying to build an audience and whatnot, it can be really toxic emotionally for you to be investing so much time applying some of the more known techniques on how to get a following, because you can quite easily find yourself trying to overproduce art and for an audience and then feeling maybe like you're not cut out for it or you're not doing the right thing because you're getting a lack of a response. And the reality is that you're just getting buried. Most of you that are going to try to establish a following on a social media platform are competing with hundreds of thousands of people in the same category. And when you put your work out there, you're essentially buying a lottery ticket each time to get like, you know, 50, 20, 30 followers with each post, trying to game the hashtags and find the right keywording, or even worse, going on to, you know, more known name creators and trying to get their attention and have them push your stuff for shout outs. And a lot of that stuff, I on paper, I know sounds like it works, but unfortunately, the way that the algorithms are built right now, they're really only built for those that have followings to get bigger followings. It's very hard to kind of build yourself from the ground up. Is it impossible? Absolutely not. Is it something that everybody can do? I believe so. But we need an approach that is going to work. So the first thing I really want you guys to kind of get out of your head before you start trying to promote your social medias and whatnot is applying the growth advice articles or the tips and tricks that you get from a lot of YouTubers, i.e. post every day, make sure that you're posting at the right time of every day, make sure that you're keywording properly, that you're doing research on hashtags, that you're gaming the algorithm for your favor. The fact of the matter is that stuff doesn't start working until later on when you already have a following. The way YouTube and Instagram is top rating you or actually promoting your material is based on how much interaction you're getting with your own material. And that's a catch-22 for many of you that are just going to be starting, because you don't have the following to have the interaction, right? So without the interaction, you're not going to be promoted. And without being promoted, you can't get the following to have the interaction. to continue to post over and over and over again and getting very minimal results, because you're just kind of posting in this ether. You're just kind of throwing your work out there in this ether and hoping that a couple of people are going to see it. But if you check any of those hashtags, any of the popular ones that kind of net results, if you check any of them and you check like when your post goes up, you're going to get buried quite quickly. So there has to be a way for you to kind of start facilitating an interaction in your own social medias to start having that algorithm work in your favor, as opposed to consistently seeing that people are interacting with your work less and less. And it's a little bit of a downward spiral, because let's assume that you are on a little bit of an uptrend from just trying to gain hashtags and doing SEO stuff, and you're getting, you know, 5, 10, 15 followers, and those people are interacting with your previous posts, and the algorithm is saying, hey, this person's getting a little bit more traction, we should start promoting it. Because you got to kind of remember that YouTube, Instagram, Twitter are promoting posts to keep people focused on the app. And they want to promote posts that keep people engaging. And the only way they can measure that is by how long posts are being looked at, if they're being shared, you know, how much watch time on a YouTube video. Is the audience that's interacting with those posts actually engaging with that? Because if they are, then YouTube's algorithm says, okay, promote it to more people, because people obviously like this. Until it gets to a point where there's a negative drop off, and then you kind of get stuck in at a peak where you're not growing and you're not really sinking. And God forbid you take some days off and the algorithm sees that, you know, people are interacting with other people more and not you, and starts to kind of derank your posts a little bit, and you start disappearing on your followers' timelines, you know, that becomes a little bit of a problem. So we need a solution to rectify that. Some of the things you're not going to do to try to rectify that is consistently posting all the freaking time when you don't have a library of work or anything. You're not going to be, I don't suggest anybody consistently be drawing every single day to meet that daily post requirement. There's a better way to do it. But before you get into social media and you start doing that, you kind of need a body of work to draw from. If you ever read the 4-Hour Workweek from Tim Ferriss, it's called batching. It's a simple methodology of creating a ton of content that you're going to be drawing from for the next, you know, couple of days or weeks or whatnot, that allow you to focus on maybe studying or making more work without the pressure of having to create every day. So before you're ready to start any of this, the first question you have to ask yourself, beyond what are my goals with my art and whatnot, is, do I have a library? Do I have posts? Do I have a kind of a large library of things I can use to post? If you don't, you're constantly going to be chasing the tail of your own growth until you peak. And then you're either going to be drawing every day under stress, not worried about getting better, and you're going to be hurting your own growth as an artist. And also you're going to be hurting your own emotional state, because now you're treating your social media like a job, drawing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, or God forbid more, to make these wonderful posts to get interaction from other people. It's not a healthy mindset. So we need a library of stuff to kind of draw from. You can recycle, if you have a large enough library too, you can kind of recycle posts if you don't have something for that day. The idea is creating a buffer room between when you're creating, when you have content available to post, and how much content you have in your library, right? Maybe you've created something really cool and you want to post that. And your idea, and again, this is for people who are trying to build that following, not just, you know, creating a little archive for themselves. But if you if you want to post something that day, cool. Like, if you drew something and you want to post that day, you're really excited to show everybody, you think it's going to perform well, post it. But you should have a library of, like, at least 30 pieces that you know are good pieces that you can post later on. The other technique is also, like, sometimes it's nice to post sketches and everything, but people want to see finished work. So have that library in place first and foremost. And I'm saying 30 specifically because that gives you 1 month to build more posts. If you have a larger library than that, you've created yourself a much larger room for when, like, a much longer time frame for you to build more archivable posts. And during that time, if you have like 30 really great pieces, you can start saturating your Instagram a little bit with sketches or little ideas or little, like, you know, selfies just so people can get to know you better. You can do whatever to kind of build more room. But as long as the majority of your content is the content that you want to showcase and it's your best work and you have a library to draw from, you're constantly going to be given more and more time to add to that library. That's the first foremost thing you need to have working in your favor, is you need a big pile of content that you can divvy out. The same thing kind of applies to YouTube. You should have batched videos lined up weeks and weeks ahead before actually posting them. This is kind of a duh thing, you know? This is kind of like, well, yeah, Costa, duh, you know? Like, oh, of course we need a whole bunch of stuff. But I can tell you with 100% certainty that not a lot of people are either considering that or doing it. Hell, I knew that. I knew that when I was going down this little train, and I didn't build a library for myself at all. So let's call the first couple of things that I'm going to tackle right now stage one. There's three stages and techniques for each one of those stages that I believe are going to be the most effective for you. So even before stage one, let's say stage zero is we need to have a library. That's stage zero. Before we do anything, we should have a library of good work that we want. The next thing, yeah, there's an overflow, KYZ. The next thing that we're going to do when we go from stage zero, we have work, right, into stage one. How are we going to actually get people that want to interact with our material? How are we going to build an audience? Well, I would say, apologies, getting DMs. I would say the first thing you should do, instead of trying to game hashtags and everything, is do some research on communities you can get involved in. This is very, very powerful for your first 1,000 to first 10,000 followers. Very, very powerful. Is get involved in artistic communities where you can contribute. That is such an underutilized resource. Because what you're doing is you're interacting with people and spreading your name. This, you're doing it right now by being involved in Ethan Becker's Discord server. But the more communities, and the even better, tighter-knit communities, more niche communities that you want to be involved in, that you can contribute to actively, builds a name for you in those followers. And scraping by, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20, 100 followers over your time being in those communities, each starts to compound. And guess what? These are not people who are just familiar with your work. They're familiar with you. And interacting with them or having them constantly, you know, liking your posts and commenting is gonna be something easier to achieve than with an audience who just kind of picked you out of the ether. And these people that you're interacting with, that you should probably consider your friends or your community, are very important to have in the beginning. You want followers on your social media that know who you are in the beginning. You need like, I guess you could say loyalists. They're not really loyalists, but you need people that are not necessarily your friends group in real life, but people who are actively supporting you and that you're supporting too, interacting. It's kind of like building a little bit of a, like a high school club or a college club of people who all know your name. And it's much easier to stand out in those smaller communities, especially as you grow as an artist. You can kind of achieve more of a pedestal status in these smaller communities much easier than you can in the vast, you know, crazy landscape of the big social media companies right now. You know, you're only really amongst, you know, maybe in some communities, 300 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people, and performing well there, you're going to get noticed. And by the way, you can share with them what you're doing. So spend the time when you're ready to start promoting yourself. And this kind of goes for commissions as well, of identifying active groups within niches. Do your research. Do your research on Reddit. Do your research through YouTube channels, seeing what maybe some of the YouTube channels, do they have active communities? Can you get involved in those active communities as just an audience member? Can you contribute in any way? Use the communities that are already existing out there to build your name in. But don't be selfish about it. Go in there and contribute. Do things with those communities. If you are, this applies out of every stage, okay? If you go into anything with the intention of me, 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 all me, oh, look at my stuff. Hey, check out my social media. Hey, look at this new thing. And you're not giving back, you're never going to be establishing relationships with anybody. And that's kind of like a core tenet you need to kind of walk away from, is this idea that everybody should be supporting you. No, you should be supporting people, and in turn, they will support you. It's a one hand washes the other, both wash the face kind of scenario. Get involved. Am I getting too loud for you? Get involved in other communities as much as you can. Be genuine when you're in those other communities. Speaking of communities, I think a lot of you stay in the art community as a whole, even though there's niches, you know, like if you're going to be trying to build like a furry art following and whatnot, getting involved in the furry communities is a good idea. And being involved in the general art community is a good idea. But what about other communities where you can uniquely stick out? And you'll notice that I'm not talking about techniques on YouTube or Instagram right now. I'm talking specifically about, in your stage one of kind of building your name, communities. Because that's where you should be focused. You should really, really be focused about communities in the beginning. Because those communities, those people that are going to be interacting in those communities, are the ones that are going to pick you up. Pick them up, they'll pick you up. And there's a lot more people, a lot easier for you to shine in. But a really nice technique, this comes from not only my own history, but a great case is Ross Straws. One of the things Ross Straws did before he got really big was Ross Straws built himself up as an artist in other communities. He was a part of the improv community. He was a part of the actors community. He was a part of the different little cells in Hollywood that he could build a name in, and he uniquely stuck out. You know, if you're in the artistic community and you're not like a big fish, it's really hard to stick out, you know, because we're all looking at artists with artist eyes, are we not? We know, oh, this thing needs to be fixed. We're always looking with a critiquing eye so we can understand things a lot better. And we also understand what goes into making pieces look nice. The general public has no idea how that works most of the time. No idea. They're just like, that looks pretty, I don't know why. That doesn't look pretty, I don't know why. We do. We know why things look pretty and don't look pretty for the most part. The general audience doesn't. Use that to your advantage. Go into adjacent cliques, you know? Let's say that you're really into concept art, or you really like doing concept stuff. getting involved in gaming communities and doing art in gaming communities and getting that, oh, you know, you're the artistic go-to, starts to bolster your numbers as well. Quite a lot, in fact, because now in all these other communities, you're starting to become the person to go to for the art. Oh, that's the art expert. And it's a lot easier for you to stick out as a individual, as somebody who's talented and skilled, than it is in a community that is all derived from art. So going to other communities that kind of are adjacent to your own, getting involved, again, be actually, you know, invested in these communities. You know, you can always tell when somebody is walking into a community like that has no idea what the heck is going on, just to be there to promote themselves. Like, I've never gotten involved in anything that I personally wasn't interested in myself. But getting involved in gaming communities, acting communities, and improv communities, and bird watching communities, and whatever that you actively have an interest in, and showcasing your art is a great way to build followers. And it's actually a little bit more effective than being a part of those artistic communities. But again, why limit yourself to one? Or why limit yourself to one niche? Go into as many that you can that you're interested in. Showcase your art. And if you want, for some of maybe the lower tier names there, people who are low, like they're not big names, they're easy to reach out to, maybe you can offer your services as a commission or free if you're interested in doing it. Again, go back into the classroom recording notes on my opinions on commissions and whatnot. But if you're going to use doing free work as a means of marketing yourself, do so in places where nobody's dictating what you're drawing, but do so where you can make fan art of whatever and get a little bit more of a name. Again, all of this is slowly building an audience for you. But here's the kicker of being involved in these communities. These people, probability of interacting with your posts, enjoying what you're doing, because they know who you are, they've spoken to you before, is much higher than arbitrary people on the internet who just stumbled across your posts and liked it. There's a different interaction when you're a part of a community, and that sort of support a community will have for what you're doing, than when you're just posting your work out there. It's kind of a herd mentality of bolstering you up, because not only are you working to bolster them up, it becomes a family orientation, and family supports family. So again, finding yourself in as many of your like interests and promoting yourself in those like interests is a great way to get your first 1,000 to 10,000. Is this going to come overnight? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is a growth throughout the entire freaking process. This is a growth. But the thing is, you want to be taking it in steps the entire way. And you want to be focusing your energy and your time into things that are going to yield results, as opposed to focusing your energy and time into buying lottery tickets on hashtags, hoping that somebody is going to notice what you're doing. Go to places where people want to notice what you're doing. Go to places that you support, that you don't have a problem doing free work in, that you would enjoy to do that. It, as you contribute, people contribute to you. And as you kind of grow that following and people are interacting with your work, it's very important, especially in the early stages, to interact with the people that are interacting with you. If you have people commenting on your posts, take some time out and interact with them. Interact with what others that you're following are doing. Say a nice message, anything that you can do to help bolster others. Again, the more you support others, the more others support you. That should be your kind of modus operandi if you're trying to build a social media following. The next very powerful thing in your stage one foundation is also getting in front of people. I know this can be very difficult for many of you. That's kind of why I left it as last. It's kind of an optional thing, but it is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Attend events. Artistic events, anime events, cons, gaming events, tournaments, whatever. Attend those events. Meet people in person. Make friends. And show them what you can do. Don't ever open a conversation with, hey, I'm an artist. This is what I do. Make friends. Like, you got to kind of go out there and get your face seen. You never know who you're going to meet. I have met so many people I thought I would never meet just by being in the right place at the right time. And those people have had a profound effect on my life. And making sure that you're showing up to these events and interacting with people is very important. You know, when you go to I think one of the best things you can do if you go to like a Comic-Con, you go into Artist Alley or anything, is have a conversation with the artist in Artist Alley, but have a conversation. Whenever you approach an artist in Artist Alley and give them your sketchbook and you're like, critique it, I mean, you realize how many people have done that? Try to approach artists that you enjoy their work and ask them about how they got there. Ask them questions about who they are. Listen. Give them good questions. This is a networking technique. What you should be doing anytime you're networking or trying to kind of build your familiarity or base is not promoting yourself. It's getting curious about other people so that they'll get curious about you. This is kind of an underlying, this is about an underlying, sometimes I'm reading the chat. This is about an underlying kind of foundation on how you can socially interact. And a lot of people are thinking about, how do I impress this person? How do I make them accept me? Don't try to do that. Don't try to go up to people and have them approve of you. You know what you should be doing? You should be asking them questions. You should be trying to get to know them. Hey, where'd you come from? How'd you develop your style? What are some of the things that you deal with anytime you hit an art block? How much do you think, did you go to school? How'd you like school? Ask them questions. Come up with some good questions that maybe they've never been asked before, and approach people at Artist Alley. Say hi. Say, hey, I really enjoy your work. Oh, I always start off, I don't approach people that I don't enjoy their work. I always pick out people that I enjoy their work. So when I say, hey, I enjoy your work, I mean it. You know? Start off with a conversation, warm them up, and then ask them good questions about themselves. People love talking about themselves. Use that. People don't like hearing other people talk about themselves. People like to learn things. So you can try to teach, especially when you're asking questions. Maybe when you're asking questions to another artist and they're like, you know what? I don't know how to deal with that. But you know how to deal with that? You might be able to teach them something in that moment and create a connection there. You know, that's what's important. But always asking questions when you're in live events, showing up to these live events, networking in these live events with people that are willing to talk to you is a very powerful tool. Because guess what? When you start interacting with them, if you can even establish a friendship and whatnot, they'll start looking at what you're doing. You always have to let them take the initiative on asking you what you're doing. You should never go into a conversation or anything about, like, how can I get them to notice me? Because if they take an interest in you, they'll ask you about it. And going to these conventions and interacting with others is going to kind of bolster you more in the eyes of people that might have more of an understanding of how your specific niches work. And they can guide you if they're willing to. If you have that sort of relationship with them, they can start to guide you on how to do things better. Or they could even give you shout outs, or they could do a collaborative. The possibilities are endless. And when you interact with people in person, they like you in person, it, like, that connection is so much stronger. So I'm always going to encourage you guys to take the time out and go to conventions and meet people, especially in your stage one, when you're trying to lay a foundation for your social media. Like, this is, as much as this is a course on trying to create a social media following, it's as much of a course in trying to, like, understand how to contribute to a community and whatnot. I think those kind of, if, as long as your ideals are like, I'm making art to contribute to a community or society or whatnot, as long as your ideals are there, I think going out and getting involved in communities to help bolster that and whatnot, or help grow that or facilitate that, it goes hand in hand. You know, it's as much selfish as it is altruistic. And when you can find that selfish altruistic balance, you're in a very, very good spot, because now you're not thinking about, oh, how can I make this great for me? How can I do all this stuff for me? You're thinking about, how can I contribute on a larger scale to others? And guess what? When you're in that mind frame, you're going to get more followers anyways, because now you're making content for others. You're making content to inspire others. You're making content to educate others. You're making a difference with your content. And when you do that, that rallies people behind you. So while you're building that stage one for your foundation, as long as you're building it from that very healthy stage, you're not only going to see positive results over time, you're going to feel more rewarded about what you're doing and whatnot. And also, you're building more of a library, because in the stage one, it's not as important to post every day. It's more important to start to kind of build a little bit of momentum behind you. You could be in stage one for 1, 2, 3 years. Wouldn't freaking matter, because the longer you stay in that kind of stage one, getting involved in community, the stronger your stage two is going to be. When we transition into stage two, let's assume you've been at it for a little while. You have a nice little following, you know, you have a couple thousand, you know, people on Instagram, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, right? And now you're kind of ready. Okay, I need to start taking the next steps to take my social media to the next level and start building a brand. Building a brand above that. Now I need to start focusing on actually treating my social media as a means of advertising myself so that I can start living off of art. This is where you're going to be in the middle of a haircut stage, okay? Stage two is kind of a really, organic stage where things are not as clear cut. But there is some things I'm going to suggest you do in this stage period, stage two period. Like if you just shaved your head and you're waiting for your hair to grow out, this is a portion of that, of your little step-by-step process where it's a weird zone. You know, you can't fully commit to social media because you're not making enough money off maybe your commissions or whatnot to kind of quit your job and do all that other stuff. And maybe you don't have enough money to invest in maybe the more advanced, more marketing side of things where you're actually utilizing promotions and all that other stuff. So this is kind of the period where it's very make or break, you know? And this period may be a very short period, or this period may be the longest period. There's no real telling. But usually by the time people hit about stage two, if they made it past stage one and they're in stage two, you know, with enough, their success is assured. They just need to wait for it at that point. Some things you can do when you're in stage two is build a small network of artists, like a little clique of artists, and bolster each other, a bunch of stage two artists, and collaborate and use each other's audiences as a kind of umbrella network to promote your own things. You should be able to, at this point, identify some of the people in your communities that you have a lot of faith, that you trust, that you like, that you share the same ideals with, or maybe the same path, or even still, like, just the same styles, or just are friends in general. And from there, it's very powerful to turn your social media efforts into group efforts at that point, and starting to create kind of a little network of artists that you go to in and out. I had a clique of artists that I worked with, or that I learned with. Some of them are in this Discord now. Wave Loop is one of them. He's down there. And I grew with them. And these are the kind of people that are going to keep you, you know, moving forward in that stage too. More so than, you know, helping you establish a following. They can, if they choose to. Doing collaborative efforts is one of those. But the reason why I'm really highlighting this is because you kind of need friends on the same path that are close, that you interact with on a daily basis, to kind of motivate and keep each other pushing forward. Kind of at this point, now it's not so much like the masses. Now it's about like keeping, you know, quality people in your life that you can grow with and support, and making that umbrella network and supporting those people around you. You know, all it takes is for one of them to really blow up for that entire group to kind of rise as the waters rise for that single ship. That would be the I would say the core foundation of the stage two. Is you really should at this point have a kind of core group or clique that you really focus your time in and sharing resources with, because those people are going to be the ones that help you kind of build from there as well. Doing all of this alone is very difficult, very, very difficult, and can really, really hinder you and make you feel like building your following is like trudging through the mud, because it becomes, all of this is a lot more difficult when you're trying to do it alone. Another very powerful thing you can do now that you're at a stage one, you've been interacting with communities, is take more of a mentor, teacher, whatever role within these specific communities, and support others. Like, that is now you're not just a person in these communities that does cool art. You're somebody people can look towards. From there, you can start building more and more of an, like, you can start building your names in these communities. And as those communities grow, and as your name in those communities grow, it transfers over. The more altruistic you can be, the more you help communities, the more you can kind of feel like, okay, what I'm doing is the right thing because I'm helping everybody. And again, people appreciate that and look towards you in order to kind of get more guidance. And it brings you up. I mean, again, a lot of this is just doing the right thing. You know what I mean? But focus your efforts when you're in your stage two to really taking the time out to become more of an active role in these communities. And again, it's kind of a stage one, stage two, stage three approach. When you're in the stage two, definitely want to get more involved in the communities that have built you up to stage two. You should be contributing your time a little bit more. And again, that time is a good investment because you will yield positive results from that. You will also notice that you're getting, with more and more interactions in these communities, you're getting more and more responses on your social media. You will notice that your social media is naturally growing. You're not even gaming the algorithm so much right now. You are just being a person interacting in these communities. And as you grow and kind of promoting yourself in these communities by becoming better as an artist and contributing more to these communities, you're going to reap rewards for that. And maybe more commissions and whatnot. I would say, though, focus your efforts a little bit more in the artist communities in stage two. Don't lose touch with the adjacent communities as much, but focus your efforts a little bit more in the artistic community in helping them out. And use maybe some of the techniques and efforts to continue posting or making art for the adjacent communities. Another thing that is pretty powerful in your stage two, as you're getting noticed a little more, is identifying maybe some medium-sized influencers and that you enjoy, that you follow, that you like, and doing a little bit of fan art. Notice how I didn't say that in stage one. It's very important because you don't want to be like without kind of a following that is interacting with your posts. When you do this pro bono work or for like the purpose of kind of, you know, not only getting noticed by the influencer, quote unquote, but also to kind of advertise yourself to those communities. When you're doing that and they shout you out, it's almost freaking like pointless if you don't have people already interacting with your posts. All you will notice is a spike up in your followers for a single day and then a complete drop off. That doesn't replicate ever, ever. I have never seen anybody who didn't have a library of work and already some type of following get a shout out and be able to continue and sustain that growth long term. I know there's exceptions to the rule, but it's a waste of time if you don't already kind of have a foundation set for your social media. It's a huge waste of time. You just get a small boost, your numbers go up, and then people like that are like, we're like, oh, that's cool, I'll follow them. Don't really interact and whatnot, because they don't know you. You're just a name on a website. They don't know who you are. Some of them might like look into who you are, but the chances of them knowing who you are and wanting to interact is quite low. It's nice to get those little boosts. It makes your numbers look a little bit better. Maybe they do enjoy your work and go through and like all your posts and whatnot. But again, it shouldn't be your main focus, especially not in the beginning. To kind of bounce off the doing pro bono work for maybe medium-sized influencers, finding people closer to your level that aren't within your clique that maybe you would like to meet in a parallel level of like where you're at. Let's say you're at like 15,000 followers. Finding other artists that you would like to reach out to and do maybe a collaborative thing can be pretty powerful as well. And not only extending your network, but meeting new people. Again, that's kind of if you're going to approach them, you should approach them as friends first. Get to know them before you collaborate with them. Just collaborating for the sake of collaborating can be rather hollow. In stage two, I wouldn't recommend just collaborating for the sake of marketing and networking until like stage three. Like now we need to start thinking about this as a business and whatnot. That's stage three. Stage two is again more so kind of refining stage one and exploring your communities a little bit more. I am going to give you a little tip though. When you're in stage two, about live events. And this is a little hack that I did, and it works. It totally freaking works. Get involved in the live events. By getting involved, I mean become staff in those live events. It's a very, very great way to meet some bigger names and network. Getting involved at live events and security or like, security is usually the best one. I'm just going to say security. But if you can do anything that gets you like a high staff badge, like an actual staff badge, you can usually get backstage. You got to do a little bit of social engineering. This is a little bit dangerous. I'm pretty good at social engineering and those things. A little bit dangerous, but again, it's about meeting people. As long as you come in with good intentions, you're not hounding anybody, you're treating them like human beings and not getting starstruck and whatnot, nobody's going to bat an eye, you know, and assisting with things. If you ever want to see when I got, look up MAGFest, I think it was 2016 or 2017, you'll see a little Costa running panels for Ninja Sex Party and normal boots. I wasn't security, but I took it over because they didn't have any security, and I had done security at cons before, and I had a super high staff badge. So when I walked into the room, they were like, "Oh, you're security," because I was kind of dressed like security, and I just went with it. And I went, "Okay." And then I found myself completely taking over security, and I got to meet JonTron. I got to meet Danny Sexbang, I got to meet Ninja Brian, I got to meet the Completionist, Gerard, who's actually a fantastic guy. I got to meet all of the Normal Boots crew back in the day. And that's all because, again, I was volunteering for actually a gaming thing, and I went in, took over security. I did my job at security. Mind you, I had done security at cons before. I did do my job at security. I didn't fanboy on anybody, but I got to interact with, meet, have a conversation, with all of these people. Had I had the con been longer and had I done a little bit more, I could have probably established some relationships with them. But again, I did my job well, and even though it wasn't my job, but the only reason why I had that opportunity was because I volunteered a lot these live events and understood how they work, understood kind of how the order of operations was, and just place myself in the right positions as much as I could in order to create those opportunities for myself. So I'm kind of letting you guys in on a little secret. You know what I mean? Just be involved. And it's so much more powerful, so much more powerful when you are face to face with people. And again, this is kind of stage two, maybe a little bit stage three as well. This is not for the beginning of your social media exploits and blah, blah, blah. This is stage two and stage three. This is something that you get into much later because you understand how things go. Like, you cannot be disruptive. You cannot freaking do, you know, weird stuff and whatnot. You got to be playing by the rules, but it's a little technique. You can use it. I'd say that comes with a huge warning, by the way. You know, don't do it if you're not comfortable. But yeah, now we'll talk a little bit about stage three. Now you have a little bit of following. Some bigger names know who you are, or medium-sized names. You have a name in some communities. You've been actively contributing. You have now what can be argued as like a small but hefty core little audience. You're by no means a big dog, you know, but you are a growing dog and you're growing consistently. All this time, you're still building a library, managing your posts. But at this time, now the algorithm can serve you. This is kind of why I'm having this talk. Is do you see how much I just had to talk about and what kind of position you need to be in before the algorithm will even start to consider you and promote you and whatnot? It's quite a bit. And I will tell you, even right now with Ethan, with as much followers as he has, the algorithm is hurting him on YouTube just a little bit. And I can explain what's happening. You'll see a massive trend down on Ethan's, you know, numbers. And one of the biggest reasons why is because YouTube ranks you based on your watch time, right? But it's not watch time for that individual video. It's watch time throughout that entire channel for that entire week or month. So it's a collective watch time of your channel that your channel's videos will be promoted. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the background. But the more that your channel is being interacted with, the better it is. So what happened to Ethan when he blew up? Like, blew up almost overnight. What happened? Well, finally he made a video that really grabbed some attention. But he was like in stage two, right? So he already had a little bit of a small following. Then he had a video that really blew up, you know, did very well. Do you know what happened when that video blew up? A lot of people that watched that video went through his library. And the YouTube algorithm said, Ethan Becker's channel watch time is going up. And it's calculating not just the video that blew up, but every individual video after that. So his recommended for that big surge went through the roof. Do you see why I'm telling you you need a library? And why it's so important to not focus on promoting your stuff in the beginning? Because when you get your first pop, you need enough videos to continue that sustained growth. Because as more people start coming in on your channel, YouTube is going to be ranking you higher as they stay on your channel. So if you don't have enough videos with enough time on those videos to keep them kind of going through your library, what happens is you have this massive influx of people, and then they go through all those videos, and then all of a sudden you wait a week to put out another video. YouTube sees that dip in activity, ranks you a little bit lower. Then you get another influx of people, but it's a little bit lower. And then, again, it starts to whittle down until the library builds up again so that the next pop, a lot more people start coming in. That's a general growth formula. Again, you could have something that really just hits all the right keywords and play the lottery and people just continue to do that. But I'm not focused on how you can hit the lottery or make a video viral. I think that is the wrong approach because it's very hard to sustain consistent gains from that. I am more focused on giving you guys a pragmatic formula that you can use. So if you're in stage one, stage two, you're making videos on YouTube or posting content on Instagram, making that library of things that people can go through and like and interact with for a long period of time is very important. In fact, I would say that is what really takes people from being a low level or middle tier level to a very high level. I've seen it happen with I'm Alex. I've seen it happen with Ross Draws. I've seen it happen with Metal Dury. I've seen it happen with Psychra. I've seen it happen with Cynics. I've seen it happen with Jake Paul. I've seen it happen with KSI. I've seen it happen with iDubbbz. I've seen it happen with freaking every single massive influencer. Their pop-off point came when they had a nice library behind them. And they continued that growth all the way through. By the way, I'm not saying I support these videos, like these people, all of them or anything. I'm just saying I have deconstructed a lot of their pop-off, charted and deconstructed a lot of their pop-off points and whatnot, and understood, okay, the biggest portion of their growth always came after they had an established library, and then you see a massive skyrocket in activity that continues the uptrend as they continue to post more consistently. Because as more people are coming in, and as more people are watching that material, it's bolstering the channel. And if there's enough material there to hold people for the next video, that sustained interactivity gets continued throughout. Unless there's like a cancel culture or something around it, in which case like it really hurts a downtrend. So we have kind of a reason why like building that library is very big. Now that we have the stage one, stage two kind of solid foundation of people that are going to be interacting with our stuff, now you can start focusing your research on those growth advice articles. Now it becomes a little bit more applicable. Now we can go into identifying hashtags, identifying keywords in order to kind of build that material and going into a much more objective, algorithmic approach to how to grow our channel. And a couple things that you can do to keep that sustained growth is doing the market research behind keywords. Using Google Trends is very powerful. Going on googletrends.com, identifying the keywords you want to use in your title and ranking them against each other and doing your research behind how you're going to title the video, understanding what is a catchy thumbnail and whatnot. Usually very saturated colors, usually has a face that somebody can recognize in it or your own face. These sort of techniques start becoming a little bit more applicable. I'm not going to cover them as much in this lecture because I would actually like to provide you guys with some resources. This is kind of an impromptu lecture, and I also need you guys to kind of be on a beginning foundation of approach because a lot of this, for almost all of you, does not apply yet. There will be a time for that, and I will prepare you guys some materials on how to compare keywords and whatnot. But until you're in that stage three, it's kind of meaningless stuff. Stage three is a great place. And again, how do you know you're in stage three? Now you're starting to bat 80,000 followers. You're starting to bat 90,000 followers. You're starting, I would actually say, you're transitioning from stage two to stage three when you start getting closer to 50 to 60,000 subscribers and followers and whatnot, and you're having healthy interaction in your channel. That's usually the point where you're going, okay, now I need to start preparing for that stage three jump. That's when we're going to start actually applying a little bit more marketing to what we're going to be doing. Because at that point, if you market it properly and you sustain that growth with a nice library behind it, now it's a very real reality that you can start transitioning out of your day jobs if you choose to and start actually making your social media and your YouTube or Instagram a means of actually advertising yourself and making real money. Some of the things that I would say are stage three that you would want to wait for is giveaways, collaborations with larger names, i.e. like other like bigger YouTubers and starting to go out and marketing yourself to other bigger YouTubers as a collaborative effort. That's stage three. Doing your keywording, hashtagging, your like all the Google trends, identifying top trends that are going on right now is stage three. Again, I understand you could do, let's say with like the Sailor Moon thing or like Inktober or something, you want to jump on that trend. If you want to do that, enjoy it. But don't expect very much volume in stage one especially or stage two until you start to actually have a lot of interaction on your channel when you do these trends. And that's usually a stage three thing, because every time those trends happen, guess what? You're competing with everybody that's already in stage three. And again, what is stage three? People with 60,000, 100,000 and above, right? You're competing with them on those trends and you're trying to get noticed. You're going into a major league game with minor league stuff. You can obviously maybe hit some out of the park. There's a possibility of that. But I wouldn't say focus your efforts there, because you're playing with the big dogs at that point. You know, I would say focus more on your communities until you start breaking the 50K threshold. Usually 50K too, if you hit that in a reasonable amount of time, and you hit that 50K, you're going to skyrocket from that point. The algorithm really starts to pick you up. 50K, it takes a while. And I want you guys to understand, this is not something you're going to get. This is not something that you're going to get or even want to get within your first 1 to 2 years of building this, like your social media presence. That's why I'm kind of telling you, focus on the communities. It will net you much better results and it will help you grow as an artist too. So like, that's a big thing. But once you're in stage three, now, okay, trends, identifying the trends, understanding what is being talked about on Twitter, understanding what is being talked about on YouTube, seeing what popular hashtags are out there. I will get you guys, when I do another lecture on stage three, I will get you guys the materials to do that. One of which I will say very simple is Google Trends. Checking the trends on YouTube is a very powerful thing to understand and compare. And even starting to like understand in your titling what words to use. You can do that in any stage, obviously. I'm saying don't waste your freaking time. Unless you're just going to do it to practice, don't expect results from that sort of stuff. Don't waste your time until you start getting some bigger numbers. Like right now, if you only had 800,000, 2,000 subscribers on YouTube and you are spending as much time researching hashtags and the right thing to use as you are in editing your freaking videos, I think you're wasting your time. I think you're wasting a lot of your time, because the results you're going to get from that are not worth the results you can be getting from dedicating that time in communities or your own personal growth. It's not worth it at all. At all. But later on down the line, you definitely want to start incorporating those into your growth strategies. Another very powerful thing for stage three is audience participation. When you're in stage three, contemplating opening up specific groups on Facebook, Discord, whatnot, very good time to do that. Getting your audience interacting and whatnot. The more that you can have your audience actively participating in things you're doing, the better it's going to be for you. Ignoring your audience, not highlighting your audience, like not taking time out and whatnot to really pay attention to the people who are supporting you right now is a death sentence for your channel, 100%. Most channels do not survive without taking feedback from the audience, without interacting with them, without highlighting them. They don't survive for very long. And if you want long-term sustainable growth as well as sustaining your relevancy, interacting with your audience on a consistent basis is very, very important. Take note from Jack's Films and whatnot. Take note from a lot of creators that have not only incorporated their Discord audiences into their work, but also have established streams and incorporated them into their work. And again, real quick, when talking about streaming, if you're looking to build a streaming community, it is much more advantageous and very, very recommended, because streaming isn't really algorithmically based. It's more based on how many followers and watchers you have to get noticed on these streams and get your partnerships and whatnot to build a following outside of Twitch or Mixer first before you go into streaming formats. So that when you are going into these streaming formats and you have an audience who's aware of that, you can not only practice how you're going to be interacting, but you are also establishing a base to work off. So when you do go live, you already have people coming in. I can tell you from my experience as well as others' experience trying to start streaming channels and whatnot, it is intensely discouraging in the first 6 months to a year how little interaction you're getting in those streams, because you're essentially talking to yourself. And it's very hard to get noticed. Very, very hard to get noticed. Why not spend your time and efforts going to places where you can get noticed to facilitate them into your stream? For just one side note on networking and whatnot, never go into anything or even building your channels. Don't create a false image of who you are. You know, don't emulate others, because that works in terms of personality. I've warned a couple people in this server that have just kind of said that in an offshoot. If you need to know why, look at Boogie2988. Classic example of why you don't pretend to be somebody to the massive world and then be somebody completely different in your streams and whatnot. You're going to turn your entire audience against you. Be yourself. You can be Ethan's a character, you know? Dr. Disrespect is a character. And it's very clear that they're characters. That's an extension of their own humor, you know? But that they're not posing to be that person. They're quite obviously characters. That's important. That's an important distinction to make when you're kind of establishing yourself on social media platforms. You can absolutely annihilate your audience and cancel yourself pretty much by pretending to be somebody you're not. Be who you are. Understand what kind of audiences you're going for. Don't try to rake in everybody and whatnot. Promote yourself to people who can understand you. Otherwise, expect that when you start getting complacent, God forbid when you have bigger numbers, and you start getting complacent about your on-screen character and that all these people promote and support you, like, understand that if once you get complacent and you start slipping and you let that real version of you come out and whatnot, they're going to notice. And they're not going to like it at all. So don't be fake. Same thing applies to friendships and networking. Don't go approaching people that like and try to become a social climber or a clout chaser when you're doing these networking things. I'm giving you guys a little bit of techniques or some things to think about and digest before you go into networking that will give you a leg up on others. But don't go into these situations thinking, oh, I need this person to like me. I'm going to be whatever way they want to. Don't try to be friends with people that you wouldn't be friends with had they not had a name. Trying to become friends with people because they have a name and whatnot, that sort of social climbing is very toxic. And also, eventually you're going to be found out. I promise it. I promise it. Because the real you is going to come out. Always does. And when that real you comes out, they might go, fuck that guy or fuck that girl and walk away from you. Don't clout chase. Don't, like, if you genuinely are like, I really like that creator, I think I could be friends with them, then approach them and try to be friends with them. Don't look about what, like, anytime you go into a networking situation, don't ever look about what you can get from that situation. Try to meet somebody that you look up to, you know, because you look up to them. You support what they do. You would like to get to know them. And if you come in with that energy, and that's the energy that I come in with, 90% of the time, I've gotten starstruck maybe two or three times in my life. No, three times. One of the times is at the AVN Awards. But yeah, I got pretty starstruck there. But if you come into those situations just being yourself and genuinely wanting to get to know somebody and not putting on a mask or anything, people will respond to you. I have met a lot of high, I guess you could say, notoriety people and have become friends with them, because when I walk into a situation and I'm like, I would like to meet that person, it's because I would like to meet that person. I like what they do. I know how they think. I want to get to know them. I think I'll get along with them. So I come into that as a person who's trying to make a friend, as opposed to, oh, you're so high up on the pedestal. If I knew you, I could really bolster my name on Instagram if you just shared me. That does not work. I understand where people are coming from on that, but dude, everybody can sniff you out. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I will say too, be careful who you collaborate with as well. Even if you're going into things in a business relationship, be careful who you're collaborating with. Understand who they are before you collaborate with them, whatnot. Yeah, do research. I had to learn the hard way recently. Do research on who they are and figure out what they're about before you do any collaborative efforts. It's a very important note to take. Aside from that, I think that's generally a kind of an idea of what I wanted to express. What has it been? An hour? I think an hour. I've hit you guys with enough information and given you a little bit of a base to kind of work off of. And now I'm going to start taking some questions, and we can move forward from there. So if you guys have questions. I think there's no harm in doing it. I just don't want your focus to be there. I of course you should be active on your social medias, because you should be interacting in your stage one, stage two. You should still be interacting with people. I just wouldn't place as much gravity on making sure you post every day and blah, blah, blah. Because where you're going to be getting noticed and where you really need to be interacting with is within those specific communities. Of course, you should be also posting on Instagram and whatnot. But don't waste your time worrying about hashtags. Don't waste your time worrying about how many likes you're getting and whatnot. Don't even give yourself that mental pressure. You have enough mental pressure as it is to get good at art. Anything that's going to be detracting from that only serves to hurt you. I mean, start checking the questions here. You need to at me for a question. A Galcone asks, yeah, I wonder about how much art / video do you have to create in order to have a library before taking the first step to this? I would say, like I said earlier in the post, as far as Instagram is concerned, I would say have 30 pieces solid, kind of ready to go, so you can post consistently. For that, as far as videos go, like, if you want to take the everyday format, again, 30 videos. But can you make that many videos? And I think you should be making videos that you're not posting anyways, just so you can get a sense of how to do it and also kind of see how you react on camera and start getting more comfortable with having a camera pointed in front of you. But making a nice library of videos and then posting them on a schedule maybe once a week prior to starting your YouTube and whatnot, like having a nice little batch. I guess the best rule of thumb is understand how long it takes you to shoot a video, edit it, right? Once you have that time frame, let's say it takes you an hour to shoot the video and 8 hours to edit it, and it's 9 hours, right? How much can you, like, if it takes you 9 hours to do that video and you're going to be shooting and making videos, how much time do you need if you were posting weekly? How much time do you need before you would have to that you would be able to create a new batch of videos, right? So if you're posting weekly and it takes you 9 hours to shoot a video and edit it, then if you're shooting, if you have three videos archived and ready to be posted, then you've given yourself 3 weeks to shoot three more videos and archive and post. Now, it's not going to take you an hour to shoot 9 hours to do so, but you need to start kind of establishing your workflow, understanding how much time it takes you to do things, and understanding how much time you need to give yourself buffer room for your life and everything else so that you can make your next batch without breaking your posting consistency, and you're not always down to the wire every single time, so that you can do all your shoots in 1 week and all your editing in 1 week, and then have a batch while your previous batch is still posting. That's what I would say as far as YouTube is concerned. For art, it would be you on Instagram, you do need to be posting daily, or you know, semi-daily, like every other day at least. So considering the best performing art is usually finished art, I would say that you should have a much longer library on that, much larger, maybe 15, 20, 30, 40 pieces that you have lined up to go, and then supplementing it with sketches and like maybe a little vlog shot of you with a dog somewhere, you know? Marmo Doodle asks, how important is age when learning to do this? I know people don't care about age. I mean, strictly for learning how to use this information and getting new information. This applies to all ages. I don't think it's age specific. I mean, if you think you can, the younger you are and the less you have to worry about responsibility wise, the better position you're going to be in to dedicate time to building your name in communities and whatnot. And the more time you can stay in stage one comfortably, and make to learn, because you have more free time usually when you're younger. The older you get, it can become a little bit more difficult to create that time to really build that stage one, because for many, they will have work, they will have significant others, they will have family, they might have medical problems, they might have a lot of things that they're dealing with in their life. So their stage one, stage two might take them a lot longer. Because they can't dedicate as much time to interacting in these communities. But this information applies even more to them, because they need to be, you know, really, really taking advantage of what time they have that's going to yield them the best results. Marigold, experience on van art versus original work. Is there a significant difference? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Fan art is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful for establishing and getting people into your art. Fan art is very good. I any artist that tells you, I don't do fan art, and they're already established, yeah, you don't have to do fan art. But fan art, when you're trying to establish yourself in phase one, phase two, that's kind of, again, one of those adjacent community strategies. But this is more so getting people interested in your work. It's a very solid means of getting people interested in what you do. Doing exclusively fan artwork, you're essentially a cover band in music. You know, bands will generally do cover songs to showcase that what they like, but not only the skill, but to get people interested in their original work. So you should always be doing fan art, but you should also be working on your own original stuff to transition people into your original stuff. If you are doing art, like if you're trying to do this as a business, though, and you're an artist alley, and you're trying to make more money in artist alley at conventions, definitely your work should be fan art derived. However, be very careful with that, because if it is fan art, you might be running into trademarking or copyright issues. But again, err on the side of caution with that, but most people get away with it without a problem. Does becoming involved in niche, Goosey asked, does becoming involved in niche adjacent communities apply both in real life and online? How would one go about finding groups in real life? It's very simple. Yes, both apply in real life and online. It's very simple. Get involved in events. Get involved in classes. Get involved in
Oh no. Now, first, I thought my Wi-Fi cut out for a sec there.
Same.
So we can't hear you.
We might need to put slow mode in the chat real quick.
Testing. Okay, can you hear me now?
Hear you okay.
Okay. Shit, you guys are spamming the chat. I gotta go back up to the... I gotta go back up to the questions. I don't know what happened there. Does becoming involved in niche or adjacent community apply both in real life and online? How would I go about finding groups IRL? I'm going to just readdress that. Finding groups IRL, getting involved in live events, conventions, meetups, classes are actually fantastic. Go take some classes. Go take a dance class if you're involved in dancing or interested in dancing. Go take an improv class if you're interested in comedy and whatnot. Go find classes. Classrooms are great places to meet people and establish little networks because they usually, outside of the class, have their own meetups and whatnot. They're very powerful to do that. Go traveling as well. Travel to different places. Check meetup online and see what kind of meetups are going on that are within your specific interests. It's a lot easier to meet people than you think, but at the same time, you got to do your own research for where those places are. Usually by even just getting interested in meeting people and starting to look for that information is really all you need to start finding those things and showing up. Singer person, any tier list of what social media platform is best or better for different things instead of Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, so on? I don't necessarily have a tier list. I think any place where I would say in the beginning, your Reddits, your Tumblr, your Facebook communities, your Discord and whatnot is where you should be focusing your efforts because those are community-based social media as opposed to individually-based social media. If there are groups on social media platforms where you can join a group or like a hashtag group where you can get involved in a community, that would be your top tier sort of places to go in the beginning. Discord, Tumblr, and blog spots, DeviantArt, ArtStation. Those are good places to go to find communities. And that's where you want to kind of focus and pull in your efforts to try to build the bigger name stuff, which is your Instagram, your YouTube, your Twitter. I personally don't care about Twitter. I don't use it. I just don't use it. I only use Instagram. I don't really like social media in general. I only care about Instagram, but for all of you that are looking to build these things, you have to find communities you can pull into your sphere. That was a singer person, Peach. How do you get more involved IRL when you live in a small city? The way you get more involved IRL is if you can. And this is why in the beginning of the talk I was saying it's an option. It's a very powerful option. It's not required. There's plenty of people who get big on the internet and can get big just by building their names and communities completely online. But if you have the means to take some time out, go on a vacation, and find within your state, within your country, events and meetup events in your areas, you got to do the research and get involved. Small towns and whatnot, you might have to take car and drive out a couple hours to maybe some yearly cons or whatnot and get involved there. again, I'm giving you guys general rules. All of you are going to have your own individual specific kind of hurdles to go. But I think if I give you kind of a general outline of how to do it online, you're going to have a much higher success if your technique and strategy is based on the kind of core tenets I gave you. I think you'll yield much quicker, much better, and much longer lasting results. Dippy asks, if you start a channel based on fandom, get into a fandom, will you lose engagement and followers when you start to move away from that fandom? How can we prevent this? Well, if you're going to start a channel that is specifically on that fandom and then transition out of it, you're going to take a dip because they're looking at you. You should have a solid idea of what direction you want to go. Are you doing fan art to build your name, or are you doing fan art because that's what you want to do? If you are doing fan art to build your name, you also need to be doing OC stuff. Anytime you have a massive switch in content, you're always going to lose some people. But the idea is building enough of that base that is going to stay for you. So you need to also be introducing other aspects before you do a full transition, if you do a full transition. Let's say you built like, I want to be a Let's Player, but Minecraft is the only thing that is really good, right? And you make a Minecraft channel that's specifically dedicated to Minecraft and never doing any other Let's Plays, well, then you're a Minecraft channel. Don't be surprised if the second you transition to Resident Evil 7 playthroughs, that people are going to be like, I don't want this, you know? Because they were there for the Minecraft content. Set a foundation. You can use the fan art and whatnot, but you need to also be integrating what your main goal is in those things. If you even look at the way Ricardo did his stuff, he did fan art, he did a lot of these things, but at the same time, he was always doing his own OC work, and people enjoyed his OC work as much as his fan art. So when he started to move more towards doing specifically OC stuff, it didn't come as a surprise.
Really, bro?
Huh?
I never did fan art. Couple.
You did for Jim. And you also did fan art of other influencers.
6 years, dude.
Dude, the amount of women you drew from Instagram?
No, fan art? You call that fan art?
That's fan art.
No, it was a couple. Yeah, a couple long years.
But again, Waveloop developed that his style and whatnot, and he did do quite a bit of stuff. But a lot of his stuff was OC to begin with. So transitioning out of getting people interested in when he was doing fan art from other influencers and whatnot into his OC work wasn't a big deal. Now most of the stuff that I see him doing is that. I mean, he can talk for himself. But moving on. Also, Dre asks, what can I do to prevent growing a toxic community? Don't harbor one. If you know community, look, your community becomes an extension of you. There would be no surprise if somebody like, you know, Ricegum made a Discord and then started pulling people into that Discord, that wouldn't be a toxic community to begin with. When Ethan opened up this Discord and started promoting it, the community wasn't toxic. Why? Because of the nature of what Ethan was promoting. Are you a drama channel? You're inviting drama into your content all the time? Yeah, you're going to have very charged people. Are you an art channel? Are you an education channel? The sort of audience that you're going to attract is based on the content that you put out there. So if you are attracting a very toxic community, it might be based on your audience, not detractors. Everybody's going to have detractors. That's not what I'm talking about. If your community's base is going to be toxic, look at what kind of content you're creating and what kind of people you're inviting in. It's based on what kind of stuff you're putting out there. For new accounts, how many artworks do you post if it's the first time and how often? I think you should be posting once a day, no matter what. Do not... Every time you're posting more than once a day, like let's say you post two posts a day, you just eliminated another day of posts. So you should, even if you have like just started your Instagram and you do one post, cool, You did that one post. You don't need a second post, just that one post. Leave it at that. And let's say you have 30 pieces. Yeah, it might be nice. It might sound like a good idea coming from like, oh yeah, I want the new people to have a library of stuff coming in. But the thing is, you don't have any algorithm at that point anyways. So why are you going to hurt the algorithm's view of your growth by posting 30, 40, 50, 60 pieces when you can post one a day for 40 days while still building the library? And then each post is now starting to compound, and the algorithm and Instagram is starting to see, okay, they posted this, it did this well. The next day it posted this, they got a little bit more activity, so they're a little bit more relevant now, so I'm going to push them a little bit more, blah, blah, blah. But I wouldn't even start, I mean, you could start posting in the beginning, but I wouldn't even wait until you start establishing a name in, most of you haven't. You know, most of you right now do have little followings and whatnot, and just, you know, hold off on posting for a little while. It might be more, and you haven't seen, if you're on my Instagram, when was the last time I posted? It was a long time ago. It was October of last year was the last time I posted an image. I wait. I have a little library there, but I'm waiting. I'm building up more and more of a little library of stuff. I was doing photography and art, and I do plan on doing photography and art. So I introduced my audience to photography, I introduced the audience to my art. So then when I start doing photography and art and I'm starting to kind of get things going and whatnot, then I will transition a little bit more into a daily post. But I personally am not even gonna worry about that until I have my own library. You know, I did experimental things in very quick bursts and just built my little following and checked engagement and just experimented. I have a solid idea of how I'm even going to be moving forward from this based on my experimentations of other people's stuff that have the bases that are required for instant growth. So I've dealt with myself as stage one. I've dealt with others that are in stage three, and I've dealt with others that are in stage two. Like, I've definitely seen what works and doesn't work within each stage, and I'm boiling it down into kind of a pragmatic growth formula. And if something as awesome as like a viral push goes, fantastic. But I'm not ever going to be founding anything that I do on, I'm going to wait for that one big explosion, because it's a lottery ticket and I can't manage that. There's too many factors at play that determine if something's going to go viral or not. Go ahead. Once a day is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Pineapplexy asks, and this is a very good question. You mentioned in the early stages, 1-2, I believe, to find small niche groups of people to grow together with as artists. I've tried this, I would assume, multiple times with groups or with multiple groups. And the major issue I find is at my skill level, pretty amateur, it's hard to find others who are as committed as I, or more so. How should I find more serious, committed artist groups at my level to grow with? I would say you have to keep looking. Here's the beautiful thing. You're a part of one of the more serious Discords right now. And a big reason why I'm saying a lot of this stuff right now is you guys can exercise your growth in here. Exactly with what I'm saying. We have a platform for you to do that here. Getting focused on art here. You can grow your name here if you want to. But I don't want you to limit that to here. I want you, ideally, continually searching. If you're finding that a lot of the groups you're becoming a part of aren't helping you, you're not growing, you can't get a name in, drop it. Don't waste your freaking time. Go for the next one. There are hundreds of groups out there. Explore. And again, don't even stick to art groups. Explore outside of that. Get involved in other groups where you can build yourself as a name. You should be constantly experimenting, constantly looking and searching, spending your time instead of researching hashtags, researching communities. getting involved in those. Once all you really, really need, honestly, is like 1 to 4 really, really solid communities to build yourself up in. That's all you really need. And if it maybe even 1, if that community is solid enough, that's all you got to do. But I would say explore as many as you can, and you're getting more notice on as many as you can. You know, you're getting your name out there on as many as you can. And again, you're being noticed. That's what's important. You're even walking into these communities and interacting a little bit, you're being noticed. You don't know how you're being noticed. So you might have said something to somebody that really influenced them. You can't do that when you're just on social media, because you're not walking into a room of 200, 300 people. You're walking into rooms of millions. It's very hard to be noticed in that. There's too much noise. Any tips on producing a backlog of videos? Beat the devil out of it. Ask any tips on producing a backlog of videos. I find it difficult to be efficient in coming up with ideas / editing for videos. Anything else. Just go through. Find videos and content that you like, that you can have your own individual take on. Sometimes you're trying to be too creative. You're not referencing enough. Apply the same sort of question to art, and what would you tell yourself? Well, I find I'm drawing the same thing all the time. How do you break out of that? You find reference. You look at other artists. You come up with better ideas. You steal where you can, and you transform it. Anytime you steal something, you transform it into your own way. Again, you can use this conversation that I'm having with you right now. Steal it, transform it, make it your own, put it out there. There's some content. You know, you can take, I would really appreciate it if you freaking named me, but same time, you don't have to. Take things, use it as reference, get a good idea of what it is, then move on. And then apply it. Why did I say move on? Then apply it to your own individual work. That sounds like a problem with, like, you're not drawing from enough wells. And then establish that library. Experiment. It's the same thing. Building a video library is just like building an art library. You're stuck in your inspiration. It's because you're not looking at enough stuff. A Bobigail asked, if you're younger, how should you go about social media, or should you postpone till older? That's up to you. That's kind of like a personal take. I can't really. If you're younger and you're comfortable with being on social media, I mean, you do have to realize that you maybe shouldn't tell people your age, because you might be inviting some bad players. The internet isn't really the nicest place. Sometimes you got to be really careful if you're under 18. There's a lot of predators out there, so you need to. I don't know if I can give you advice on that, because I'm not in your position. I'm just going to say be careful when you're building a name and you're kind of younger. Be very careful of who you're interacting with, even in communities. Be very careful and wary. Don't tell people your real name. Don't, you know. If you want to make the beauty of the internet is anonymity, keep that anonymity, you know? You can even use that as a marketing advantage, you know, if you're younger. Keep your anonymity. Don't go telling people, I'm this age, this is my name, this is where I live. Like, don't give predators an opportunity to come into your life. You know what I mean? Be safe. Be safe. Shadow Cruise Art. When you spoke about making a fan art, and most artists tend to just have a spike and drop off again, what are other ways you can keep your followings? For example, are challenges a good way to keep people interested in the community, or a larger portfolio? Or is it a larger portfolio or posts? It's kind of all over the place. When I was saying, like, when you're making, like, let's say you don't have a following, right? If you don't have, like, at least, I'm not talking about, like, a 50,000 following. You don't have people that are actively interacting with your stuff. You're just a kind of a conglomeration of your friends who are kind of interested in what you're doing, and like random people who started following you. And you start pulling all your efforts into doing these like fan art shout outs for models, or fan art for like DC, and trying to establish an audience for that. And you don't really have anybody in a community that's interacting with you or supporting you. What tends to happen is you'll get a spike up in followers, right? then it immediately drops off because nobody's interacting. They're just people that were like, oh, that was cool, I'll follow them. And then they're expecting maybe more fan art and whatnot. And then they, like, a small majority, usually about 10% of, like, naturally gained followers, usually about 10% of all the naturally gained, 5 to 10% of the naturally gained followers are going to be committed if you're not actively interacting with a lot of the people that you follow and whatnot. That's why I'm really kind of telling you to focus more on the community thing, because all the people you're interacting with in that community, you're interacting with all of them in that community. So you don't have to worry about interacting with them in the comments or whatnot. You're already interacting with them. So they're watching your art. They're pulling up inside jokes that you guys have established. They know where you're at. They're pointing out your progress. They know you, and they know you as a community. So you're getting that response from that community. So when you do a fan art and you get that natural spike in growth from maybe the 10% that are going to stay, you still have the community that is still interacting with those fan art posts that is keeping you relevant to the algorithm, as opposed to betting on strangers to interact with what you got. Abba Abigail asks again, if you're younger, how should you go? That was the same question. I addressed that. Megmas says, any advice on starting with one or two channels to prevent overwhelming fatigue? For example, try not to do Instagram, Twitter, ArtStation, Facebook, etc. all at once. Is there a best channel to start on? Does that depend on your medium? I apologize. I would choose one to focus on. Because if you're trying to run a YouTube, if you're trying to run a YouTube, a Twitch, and an Instagram, and you think that you're going to be able to get an audience from all of those, you're really just actually like diminishing your results based on the time that you're investing. Like, so you're investing time in YouTube, you're investing time in your Instagram, you're investing time in your Twitch, you know, you're investing time in all three, and now you have to promote all three. So if the YouTube gets a little bit of an audience, and the Twitch gets a little bit of an audience, and the Instagram gets a little bit of audience and whatnot, like, that's all kind of diluted based on time spent, because you can only kind of dedicate yourself to one or divvy up your time in between three. And each one of those that you're trying to grow is going to be more difficult. It is much, much, much easier to take something like Tumblr or DeviantArt or ArtStation or especially Instagram and building a following there than transition into YouTube. I can give you a great use case again with Ross Draws. Before Ross Draws even went into the YouTube space, he already had massive followings on Instagram, on ArtStation, before he even dove into YouTube and whatnot. He used his audience there and pulled them into that YouTube sphere. So when he went into YouTube, he already had an audience because he just pulled them from his Instagram. Ironically enough, Ethan actually focused all his efforts on YouTube first and none on his Instagram. So you know what happened? His YouTube blew up because he put all his effort there, and then he focused on his Instagram because he could now start to juggle because he had an audience facilitating over from the YouTube. Then what happened? Then we started to promote the Discord. We took it in steps each time. We didn't try to do all of them at once and manage them at once and whatnot. Each thing was one step, one step, one step. Bringing an audience from there, allowing that audience to grow. Now all the audiences, because you're on multiple platforms, are starting to facilitate and feed each other. That's when you can start doing multiple. Focusing on one at a time is very powerful. Again, you'll notice I'm not promoting my Twitter. I'm not promoting any of that other stuff. I just promote my Instagram. I only focus on my Instagram. I only care about my Instagram. I only do social stuff on my Instagram. That's actually a personal choice as well, because I don't like the other social media platforms. And I don't want to divvy up my attention. I'm like, I can get everything done on Instagram. I'm just going to do it all on Instagram. If I ever went down a YouTube path, I would be focusing on building my Instagram first, not going down YouTube and whatnot. I wouldn't be splitting up my decisions or my strategies. Focus on one, get that one good. Lethal Lizard says, any efficient way to maintain a following, interaction, post regularly, while still being focused on learning. That's this entire thing. That's what this entire chat is, becoming involved in communities and focusing your efforts and being involved in communities as you're building your brand on your Instagram and whatnot. That's why I'm encouraging you guys to focus on communities, because that's the only thing that's going to, that's the only thing that you're really going to get people interacting with your stuff, because they're not going to be interacting with Instagram. They're just going to be seeing you on something they already use. They're going to be interacting with you in communities consistently. They know who you are. When you post things, it's an entire community that already knows who you are, witnessing your stuff, liking your stuff, supporting your stuff. And the more influence you have in that community, the more that community supports you. So why not pull your efforts into communities? In the beginning, when you have nothing going on as far as the social media thing, of course, you can still buy those tickets. You can still post to those things if you want to. I'm always just telling you, don't overexert yourself on pulling, like trying to build that following. So many people are trying so hard to build that following on Instagram, and they're getting 1, 2, 3 followers maybe per post. You know how much you'd probably get if you spent like a week in a community? 50, 60. Why? Because you can meet 50 or 60 people in a community quite quickly, and guess what? They're going to be interacting on posts. So the next time you post that post, you get more algorithmic weight.
Hey, Costa.
What's up?
You just eliminated a question that I had, but which platform, which social media would you like recommend to beginners, and why is Instagram?
I wouldn't necessarily I personally use Instagram. I would say that you should be looking for, in beginners, you should be looking for Discords. You should be looking for art groups on, I don't know if ArtStation does art groups, but if you can, no, I think ArtStation is purely portfolio based. Tumblr, I know is very, I don't use Tumblr, but I know it's very community based. So Tumblr, Reddit.
Even though Tumblr doesn't have any single thing for like communities of like groups and such, it doesn't have that, and it's still a big community thing. And no, ArtStation doesn't have anything to, it has DMs, which is the best thing you can get.
Yeah, but even Reddit community, using Reddit, using if you are on Tumblr, using ArtStation and trying to identify artists if they have niche communities, even finding if certain artist Patreons have niche community. There's a very good community for $1 a month for Ahmed Alduri's. If you want to go into it, like a lot of you, I would recommend to go on Ahmed Alduri's Patreon. It's $1 a month, but you get into his paywalled art Discord. Ahmed is in there all the time helping out artists. And also, it's a close-knit community, but it's very worth it. Just don't be toxic in there. Ahmed's community will ban you very quick if you're toxic or disruptive. But again, if you're there to learn, you're there to interact, you're there to be a good community member, Ahmed Alduri's server is very good. That's one on that. Discord is very powerful. I would say probably Discord is the most powerful right now for finding stuff like that. But don't limit yourself to just Discord. Look on Reddit. See if they have Discord. Many subreddits have Discords. Many subreddits are sharing information. Finding those communities. And looking outside of the big ones is also very powerful. Trying to identify that. Sometimes going down the rabbit hole of like, let's say, like you go on Instagram. Sometimes going down a rabbit hole can net you some like positive insight on like what communities use what websites and what platforms to find a community in. And maybe a lot of them are on forums. I started my community, like my little like community like stuff on Cypress Forum way back, like 7 years ago. And that's where I met Wave Luke. I met Wave Luke 7 years ago. Seven. And we're still together to this day. And I met him on the Cypress Forums. There's also conceptart.org. I completely forgot about the forums. I'm so sorry, guys. There's conceptart.org. There's Crimson Daggers. Spectre forums are down, but even looking to see if artists have active forum communities from YouTube, a lot of those are very, very good. And also searching on ArtStation on Instagram to see if artists are promoting any type of communities. You should be focused on looking for those communities, even if you're a beginner and trying to get trying to interact with them. Does that answer your question, Egg?
Yep, thanks a lot.
And no problem.
You made me remember that I think ArtStation have a forum.
If they do, I would check it out. And check it out and see if they're, again, jump down the rabbit hole. Lufrain asks, first off, thank you for the lecture. Thank you for that. In the beginning, you mentioned creating a library of work. On paper, it makes a lot of sense, but there's a flip side. Many people who can't take 5, 10, 20 days just to create a single piece of good work. They wouldn't have a decent-sized library of work for another 30 years. What sort of advice can you offer people who fall into this time-heavy category? I think you're going to speed up naturally. You might be a little bit too early, but you're going to fall into this problem anyways. Unfortunately, like for animators are having a very hard time. But if you're a person, let's assume that you're a person where your art is going to take 5, 10, 20 days to make something glorious, and that is your shtick the entire time, then you could you're taking all your time to make a very quality piece, right? Chop it up. Show your process. If you're going to always be taking this long to make the pieces, show people why it takes this long. Make your social media more geared towards the process and the explanation of why it takes you this long. Also, showing the process all the way through. If it's taking you 5, 10, 20 days to do a single piece of art traditionally and whatnot, you could be logging that entire process and making like full logs of these entire pieces. And then people are following that all the way through. They're watching the log, and boom, they see this final piece. Or on the reverse side, they see this amazing, beautiful piece. You post that, and now you're posting your process from stage one. This is stage one. That's one picture. Don't show it all in one post because you're ruining the amount of time. You're showing each process day by day. Okay, this was process one. This is process two. This is how I do sketches. Maybe you're taking information, maybe you're showing your references, maybe you're showing your sketches, maybe you're just showing your thumbnailing process and whatnot. Oh, and then you're boiling that down you're boiling it down into showing pieces of the puzzle and then the full puzzle so you can keep that sort of that sort of interest continually building. I wouldn't say make 20 days of process photos, but if it takes you 5-10 days, you know, showing thumbnailing and like getting a library of all the thumbnailing that you did and then showing pieces of all the sketches, cut it up, like step on it and make it smaller and smaller and smaller. You have this really pure quality kind of work. Well, cut it up into tinier, more digestible bits that people can eat like snacks until they get to the main course, which is the big thing. And that's really how you can sustain that sort of interest. If that's the formula you're taking, there's a way to always kind of, if you have something very complicated, show it in mini little bits and whatnot. If you can do lots of things in quantity, well, then you can build a big library. The idea is and that was a very good question, by the way, because it is a completely different approach, but it is you can get the exact same result. Instead of having a library at this point, you're still developing a library, but the nature of your library isn't going to be finished pieces. It's going to be processes, it's going to be sketches, it's going to be this, it's going to be your thoughts on certain things, some of the areas where you have problems. You can also start supplementing that with some minor teaching and whatnot. I hope that answers your question. Dippy say you are posting videos on YouTube and early on in your YouTube career, you have a video blow up, no backlog. How can you deal with this? Is this a good or bad thing? Well, I mean, if you have no backlog and you got like this blow up video, it's going to put a lot of pressure on you. You know, it's kind of like getting $1 million, like from the lottery. It becomes quite difficult to learn how to deal with. Sounds really good on paper, but the reality is really terrifying because you're not sure how to replicate that result. Again, you could try after like putting out another video within a week that does so and start pulling people into areas where you can kind of be like try to immediately kind of pivot and transition to Instagram, although it will look pretty hollow. Say if you made a great video and you got a big blow up and you got a bunch of audience off that right off the get-go, you should not even let it phase you. Just go back into making videos, making a log and whatnot, and just continually making another backlog. Because the beautiful thing is that now you kind of have a base to work off of, so you got an immediate audience. Don't panic and start trying to sustain that audience, or like, actually, I would say don't even try to drag them into Instagram or anything, because that you can smell that a mile away as an audience member. Oh, they're just jumping on their own train right now. I would just say continue to just make content and continue as follow. And a lot of that big audience is going to fall off, but a lot of them are going to stick through and they're just going to enjoy your content. And you just treat it as if, you know, you didn't have an audience to begin with, but now you do. But again, you're focusing more on building the sort of foundation that's going to be sustainable and the sort of habits that are going to keep your video production sustainable. Panicking or trying to respond too quickly to a viral video or blowing up and whatnot can like shoot you in the foot real quick. It's about managing kind of like your emotions and your expectations and then treating it as a slow build up from there. And you have a nice leg up on everybody else because you did have an early blow up video. Lethal Lizard, how much does a username bio on Insta, Twitter, just having a high following number detract? How much does a username, name, bio matter on Insta, Twitter, and does a high following number detract? What do you mean? The username doesn't necessarily matter. However, if people are searching your username a lot in the search bar, your SEO goes up. So, like, when they're searching your name, Instagram sees, okay, this person has been searched this much, and you actually get keywords assigned to you and their relevancy. So now that keyword associated with your bio and the keywords in your bio and your title will start associating your name with that keyword. So it's kind of important. Is it the big weight? No. But, yes, it has a massive effect. So wording your bio and making sure that Instagram spiders can see that you're related with art, that you primarily post this type of art and whatnot, will associate your name with that category so that your Instagram channel will be promoted more. Shadow Cruise Art, when I was in college for my AA and BFA, my professors press the importance of meetings and galleries and submitting in galleries. How do you feel about galleries for the current day? Do you consider it applicable, good resource? Depends on what you're going. Like if you're a fine artist, yeah, galleries still apply 100%. Galleries are fantastic if you're a fine artist because you're going to meet people in person. And like anything that you can do in person is fantastic. And getting into gallery showings, even as a concept artist or anything else, is fantastic. That's actually that's another great resource right there that completely, like, what this is kind of why I like having these Q&A moments, because you kind of remind me of other things that I've seen be very powerful, and galleries are very powerful. However, I will say that you need to know, like, in LA, there is a lot of galleries that are geared towards entertainment artists, a lot of student showcases, and going to those student showcases, oh my God, completely forgot about that. If you're in LA or you're near an art college, look for the student showcases. Go meet other artists in person. That's a great way to meet some like new up and coming artists that you can get to know, is going to colleges and watching their student showcases and meeting other artists that are fresh out of college that are, you know, they have that fire of I want to get involved in industry, and talking to them and learning from them. That's like making friends with them. You can really extend your friendship network with artists by going to colleges, artist showcase, and interacting with them. Especially if you're younger and maybe you're in high school, or maybe you just got out of college, or maybe you're still in college. Going to those artist showcases are great. Going to galleries are really great. And I know for a fact, any area that has a large entertainment arts and entertainment design driven classes also have galleries for those students, and also hold galleries for general artists. Orlando also has a lot of artist showcases. I completely forgot about all that stuff. You can find artist showcases for local artists in most areas, and getting involved in all of that is a very good first phase. Like, there is so many things. Look on Meetup. Look on actually, like, city events and whatnot. There is a ton of opportunities to shine, especially if you guys are, if you're in smaller cities and you're in smaller areas. They're great opportunities because a lot of those artists aren't being trained on being trained online or going towards like a more like fun sort of style and whatnot. They're very abstract and like fine artsy and whatnot. If you can get into those things, you can actually build a local following as well, where people are going to show up locally to follow your art. I'm so glad you brought that up, because there are so many things inside your own cities and whatnot to explore. Meetup is a huge one. City events is a huge one. Even going on to your cities or like close to your cities and looking for art events, street walks, art walks, all those, they're very good. If you can get into them, it's a very good way to promote yourself. If you can't get into them, show up anyways. Meet some artists and they'll be local to you. And if you don't have an art group there, if you make enough friends, you could create one. You can host it in somebody's backyard or something and find somebody that's willing to get naked for some money and then bring them in. Now you have a figure drawing session and whatnot. Or you can, I'm not going to say that, never mind. But, there's a lot of really, really good ways of building the communities yourself in real life. And if you can kind of create and harbor those real life connections, they're so much stronger, so much more powerful, and so much more impactful than any of your online connections, because they're real. They're people you can interact with. They're face to face. That's not to say that online isn't powerful, but I'm an extroverted person. I'm always going to encourage you guys to go out and meet people. I know that's not going to work for you all the time, but that is absolutely great freaking question, Shadow Cruise. I think you already asked the question, Egg. I'm kind of really behind here on the chat. Would reposting old work be okay for the purpose of daily posting? Absolutely. I don't see a problem with it, but, you know, space that out. It's like, don't do that too often, but you can absolutely repost old artwork. Just, you know, if you've got, like, 400 posts and your old artwork is all the way, like, no, let's say on Instagram, right? You have old artwork on Instagram that's like 3, 4, 5 scrolls down. You absolutely can recycle that post because you've gotten all these new followers that may have not scrolled your Instagram, and you can just recycle that. It's a very quick technique to get a quick post out. I would reserve those for days that like you're traveling, you're busy, you're sick, family emergency, or anything. If you're in a family emergency, don't even worry about your social media. But if you need to, if you're like, well, I've got to quickly post something, yeah, go for a recycled post. But yeah. Shadow Cruise Art asks, this may not be helpful for everyone asking if, on behalf of another friend. When you have several hundred thousand followers, what are less noticeable signs about, and what are obvious signs that they are friends, that there are friends that actually don't give a shit about you and only care about your popularity? I'll also like to hear what you have learned to Wavelip if you've had this happen. Well, I can tell you 100% that having it happens whether you get money or you get fame. It's the same thing. People will tend to take, like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, will start to show an insane amount of interest in you. Out of nowhere. Like, friends you haven't talked to for years will notice what you're doing, and they'll be like, hey! And then they'll try to get really close to you and whatnot. Like, they weren't there when you were beginning. They weren't there while you were growing. They had nothing to say. But the second you have, like, a ton of, like, followers and everything, all of a sudden, all these people want to start contributing and whatnot. It's natural, because people kind of become attracted to those that are moving forward, and they want to understand that. But those that are trying to, you'll notice that they'll try to put their hands on a lot of things very quickly, and it was never there to begin with. Like, years from friends ago will just start popping up, or people will start trying to grasp a lot more control. Like, you got to be really fucking careful in understanding who it was already around. Like, keep your, like, group close. And the bigger, the really ironic thing, and I can say this from my own experience with money, is that the bigger, the more access and the more successful you become, and the more access you have to the real world, your world becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Because people will backstab you. They'll try to get what you have. They'll try to do whatever they can to reap your success without putting in any of the work themselves. Like, they'll just try to take from you always. So again, keeping things closer knit and being a little, don't push people away, obviously, but just be aware of, like, their motives. And they'll usually shine out. Usually they'll have a request at some point. There's going to be an ask, a really big ask. Like, I had a friend who I thought I was really close with, after I started getting a lot of money and whatnot, all of a sudden took a lot more interest in me. And I hung out with them a lot more, and I was like, and like, they were complaining all the time. And then the day came, and I was starting to get the sense that this might not be genuine. Like, our friendship might not be genuine. That I get a sense that they're going to ask me for some money. And sure enough, they had built up all this stuff, and then they asked me for a significant portion of money. I've also had other people, again, get very close to me, give me a bunch of free stuff and whatnot, and then there's the ask for a significant amount of money. Like, the second that ask comes, it's like, there it is. That's what you did all this for. It's very sad that some people are like that, and you got to be like that, but that's the truth. How about you, Wave Luke? Have you noticed anything? Ricardo?
Sorry, I was muted. In terms of people taking advantage?
Yeah, like, maybe you, when you got, like, your...
No, not even once. Online, but people I don't know. But from my close network, no, not a single one.
All right, there you go. Two very different worlds. Bear... beat the devil out of it. As you mentioned, how often you should post for Instagram. Do you think it's similar for YouTube? Does it matter? Well, if you post every day for YouTube, it's much easier to get that library, right? And it's much easier to keep the algorithm in your favor. But it will take longer if you're not posting every day. Again, it's about your time threshold and whatnot. So if you want to post once a week, well, Ethan posts once a week. You know, it works. But you do need to be posting at least on a weekly or daily schedule. Once you get kind of big, like, then it doesn't matter as much, as long as you're not trying to really grow your audience like crazy. Sometimes it's actually better to post less, because each time that you do post, it becomes kind of a momentous event. I don't know why that word is so strange to me right now. But it's like an event every time you post. You can usually see that from some of the bigger YouTubers that have taken a step back and don't post every day, and they're very inconsistent with their posting, but every time they post, they grow quite radically. They have a big library behind them, and then when they post, people really respond. And sometimes it's actually a very good strategy because, again, it kind of becomes a scarcity principle at that point, and people are going to respond to that. It's up to you whether or not, like, what your comfort zone is. Once you're kind of big, you can kind of sort out what you're willing to do and make either one work. When you're small, consistency matters. So if you want to work within a daily time frame, you need to make sure you can work within that daily time frame. If you're going to work within a weekly time frame, you need to make sure that you're going to work within that weekly time frame. I would always err in the beginning on the side of, like, give yourself more time and more of a library. And then as you get better, as you get more familiar with your process, you might be able to cut that process down and start archiving, you know, and making a video, and like, you do a recording day, and you can get like maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 videos out of that, and you have an editor or a couple editors, and then you can kind of divvy that out so that now you can't go on a daily post kind of method. Again, it's going to be determined upon your own skill set as well as your own understanding of where your content wants to go. Kind of giving you guys like a, you should do this. Well, it's kind of like do you take a long time to do your art, or do you take a short time? The kind of foundation on Instagram is kind of more of a daily post or bi-daily post. YouTube is a little bit more difficult because of the amount of effort it takes for each video, as well as the capital it would take to kind of keep that output. But consistency is very, very important. But Instagram, again, I would say it's not that hard to be daily consistent on Instagram. That's why I'm kind of like pushing that, because you can just wait a little while, have 30, 40 finished pieces, and then be posting sketches in between those pieces. And you can get 3 months out of 30 or 40 posts. You can get 3 months if you're supplementing sketches, you're supplementing daily, you know, warm-up routines, you're supplementing all that along with your finished pieces. But if you want like an exclusive Instagram of just finished pieces, then yeah, maybe going on every 3 days, every 4 days, and then building that library so that you're giving yourself time to make those pieces and kind of keep that consistency up. That would be the best approach. Cyber Daddy asks, what would you say for someone who has a couple thousand followers from years ago but no actual engagement? Would it make more sense to try to transition into a new account? No, just keep them and just go ahead and start building from phase one. I'm in that boat right now. I have people that I've built up for years that aren't doing anything. I'm not going to reset my account. I would just go from phase one. And then if I'm noticing that, like, I can't get that pressure because maybe my account has been tagged from years ago as like a not enough momentum and I can't build momentum, I might experiment with a secondary account and see if I can my growth on that secondary account is like the same as what's going on my account, or if my account has problems with it because it's an old account for some reason. So I would do a compare and contrast at that point. And if I'm noticing that I'm getting much more traction by guiding like the community, like, oh, this is now my art channel, this is my personal channel, I might even lie about that just because I'm going to be like, this is my art channel, I need to see how good that one's doing. So then I drive the audience I built over to that art channel and it grows like really, really fast. Then I know the algorithm's hurting me, and then I will just stick to this is my personal channel. And if it's not, I'll be like, I would rather just keep it all on my personal channel, you know, but experiment. Venus says, how do you get to be social if you're autistic or really bad with social interactions? I personally don't know how to answer that question. I'm not a expert on that. I haven't personally been able to deal with that, and I don't know anybody who's dealt with that, so I can't. Unfortunately, I can't give you advice on that. I would suggest that maybe finding people who have dealt with that successfully, maybe looking that up on YouTube or something and using other people who have dealt with that successfully and finding out how they deal with it. I'm an extrovert. I'm kind of good at, I like social stuff. So that's kind of my little bit. How do you spell the Ahmed Alduri? Ahmed Alduri. I just put it in the chat. Yeah, Alexi also got it right. Little Sky, I'm a bit confused on this community thing. How is interacting with others going to translate to Instagram interactions and followers? How are we able to meet 50, 60 people quickly and talk to all of them? This isn't something that, like I said at the beginning of the kind of the lecture, it's not something that you're going to be doing like in a week or a day. You have many, many people on a community. The more notoriety you're going to be getting, the more you're interacting on that community, you're going to be noticed by those people. And yes, they're going to be curious about how many of you have made friends here. And even in a small group, how quickly are you guys asking for each other's Instagrams? Well, let me see your work. What's your Instagram? Boom, right there. It's natural. It's a natural part of community. You guys want to investigate each other. You guys want to understand what's going on with each other. You want to see what your social medias are like. It's very powerful online. And it's usually one of the first things people ask for. Where's your work? Well, here's my Instagram. That's how you meet people. And the more you interact in the art rooms, in everything else, and you're showing your work, the more people are following you. Sometimes you're not even interacting with them. They're just following you. That translates into followers. Because guess what? It's the same thing that's happening on Instagram in these communities, except every time you post, there's so many more eyes on it for longer than on Instagram in every community. Because on Instagram, your post is only up there unless you get snagged by the algorithm for maybe 2 to 3 minutes before it's immediately buried. And only your followers are seeing it. But on every hashtag and everything else like that. If you're posting your art here in the art showcase rooms or you're posting your art to be critiqued, guess how many people are looking at it? Plenty. Especially in more active communities. And if they see you growing, they like what you do. You're interacting with them. You're helping them. You're taking an active role in the community of being a community member. People are going to notice that. And when somebody asks, hey, what's the little guy's Instagram? And somebody posts it, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people are going to see that they post that. They're going to check you out. You're going to get followers from that. Promise. It happens naturally. It's not something you need to facilitate. It's something that the reason why I'm encouraging it is because it's the best way to naturally do it. It's not something you need to force down people's throat or anything. It's a part of the nature of the internet and people's like curious nature of each other. And again, it's a community thing. Oh, wow. I am so behind. This chat has moved so quickly. Radio Fiend, would sketches or Paula's sketches, especially studies, be good for daily posting? Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'm going to start screaming through here. I'm only seeing posts that are highlighted, by the way. All right, we're finally at the bottom. Radio Fiend, is actively commenting on artwork of people you look up to helps? Can get you noticed. I've gotten some pretty big names to follow me just because I said the right thing, you know? I don't usually comment on much stuff. But when I do comment, I usually make my comment mean something. And people, if you can learn the art of saying something impactful and resonates, people will notice you when you comment. Also, commenting on, it's a kind of like an extension of a community, but if you're commenting a lot on the same kind of big names all the time, their followers notice you and they'll check you out. It's kind of a phase one little hack. But yeah, if you're commenting consistently, you're very positive. You're not asking for anything of them. You're just kind of appreciating things, or you're interacting with other people in the comments on things and having healthy discussions. It's a quick way to get a couple extra followers. Again, it's about your interaction with others. And sometimes it's very powerful to be active in those bigger communities as well, because sometimes you do get noticed by those bigger names and they take the time out to start responding to you a little bit more. They appreciate your feedback. And I would definitely 100% say, if you got the time, do it. Comment. You know, the more you're interacting out there, the more positive you are, the more you're going to get noticed. And that's kind of a tiny community in themselves, the comment sections of other things and other other Instagram influencers and whatnot. It's kind of a little close-knit community, but it's not someplace that you can actively contribute to. That's why I didn't highlight it or point it out too much. I want you guys to be more interactive with the communities out there to yield kind of really sustainable results. Alrighty, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I've been talking your guys' ear off now for 2 hours, so I think that is enough. 2 hours is kind of long. I have missed a lot of your guys' just general comments in here as I was trying to address the Q&A. I apologize for that. I hope you all got something out of it, and I hope you guys all kind of can apply this stuff and get some good out of it. And again, I'm going to encourage you guys to draw with each other, to hang out in the voice chats, to share your art in the channels, to help each other grow. And also, I'm going to encourage you to visit other Discords and other places so that you can kind of bring that energy with you and really start getting – the whole point of all this is to get you – like get art, learning art. Like the first and foremost in the Discord communities, like let's get all this like kind of moving towards like art. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for your questions. I will see you guys around.
Yeah, pretty good.
Appreciate it. Also, if for whatever reason you guys took notes, please DM me those notes so I can go through them and post them to the Classroom Recordings notes section. Thanks for coming out.